And in a couple of moments, we're going to begin with a visual representation of the first part of John chapter 13. And then we invite Marcus to come and bring God's word to us in just a moment.
It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel round his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter.
Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?
You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later.
Never at any time will you wash my feet.
If I do not wash your feet, you will no longer be my disciple.
Lord, do not wash only my feet, then. Wash my hands and head too.
Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not need to wash themselves, except for their feet. All of you are clean. All except one.
Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table.
Do you understand what I have just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you should do so because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice. I'm not talking about all of you. I know those I have chosen. The scripture must come true that says the man who shared my food turned against me. I tell you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. I am telling you the truth. Whoever receives anyone I send receives me also. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. We pray your Holy Spirit can help us to understand what you have for us this morning. Thank you for this wonderful day. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me to communicate your word and our brothers and sisters to understand and apply your will in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're taking a look today, not the whole chapter or the 20 verse we just saw right now, but when I was reading this week, the first 5 verse came out of the Bible. You know, when you were reading, it's like, wow, I never thought about that. And I invite you to look for this first 5 verses here. And I would share with you one side that came to my heart this week. So let's see again. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returned to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. In John chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said to his mother at the wedding in Cana de Galilea, you remember, "My hour has not yet come." In John chapter 7, verse 30, when the Jews tried to arrest Jesus, the Bible says that, "But no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come." In John chapter 8, verse 20, when Jesus was spoken in the temple, the Bible said, "Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come." But in John chapter 12, verse 23, when Jesus came inside Jerusalem as a king, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And in the first verse here in John chapter 13, verse 1, we see here that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. In the life of Jesus, nothing happened. Nothing happened by chance. Everything was planned. Jesus fulfilled everything what's planned for him in his life here in the earth. Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus knew that the suffering he had to endure. Jesus knew everything. Jesus knew that the death on the cross was near. Jerusalem was full of the people. The Passover was to happen. The Jerusalem was full of people there. The families were prepared for the feast. The animal, the lamb, it's a lot of people there. And we see here Jesus teaching his last lesson before the cross. And when I was reading this verse, it started to come, wow, this was the last lesson Jesus did for their disciples before the suffering. And I start to think that Jesus knew that the disciples would face a major crisis in their lives. So I try to see which which principles we have here we can find in these first five verses who help us to deal with crisis. The first principle I saw here in verse 1 is that in moment of crisis, we need to remember that Jesus loved us to the end. He never, never, and ever will forsake us. The cross was not an accident. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew his time had come. Despite the knowledge of his terrible suffering, Jesus loved his disciples until to the end. Even though that his disciples would abandon him, even knowing that Judas would betray him, even knowing that Peter, his closest friend, would deny him, Jesus continued to love his disciples to the end. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, we can find, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I want to share with you a testimony. Next slide, please. This couple. I met this couple in 90, before I accepted Jesus. This man was working in a bank, in a high place in a bank. He was a tennis player, full of life. He was the deacon, a deacon in our church. And just 5 years after that, some disease came, very rare disease. And this man, who were full of life, so active in the church, and we just saw down and down and down in suffering and cries. And this picture I just get like 1 week ago. For me, there's a testimony of love. It's when I saw this picture in the Facebook, just came to me what Jesus is telling for his disciple here. I love you to the end. In a normal world, this woman, Olga, had all rights even to say, "Oh, I give up." But she is beside him all day. They have grandchild now. When I come back to Brazil, I visit them. And sometimes I'm in the shopping center. When I look, they are together and she is pushing him to just to have fun. And he still smile and try to talk. But the love of Jesus is there. It's a testimony of love. When I look at them, I only can see Jesus. We pass and we will face many crises in our life. For someone, it will be crisis in ministry. For someone here, it will be crisis in a job. For someone here, it will be crisis in the school, in the college. Inner crisis, outer crisis, crisis that starts inside you, crisis that it's somebody else who push you out. The question is not if we will have crisis. The question is when, because everyone will pass. But one thing we cannot forget is that we are not alone.
We are not alone. You are not alone. I don't know what you are going through right now, but I want to say to you, you are not alone. This promise here Jesus told to the disciples is not only for them, it's for us. Jesus is with us forever and ever. And the presence, the companionship, and comfort of Jesus come in many ways. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to help us, to teach us, to comfort us, to show us the truth. So, in one way, Jesus helped us during the crisis when the Holy Spirit is inside us and we have the God's touch. And you can say, I don't know why. I don't have any kind of answer. But I can feel the peace that only God can give. And sometimes the Jesus presence in our life come through friends, come through brothers and sisters, that in the moment of the Christ, they hold your hand. Most of you know me. I'm very energetic. I talk a lot. But one thing that is very hard for me is when somebody is passed for a very deep crisis, a loss of somebody. Because you know for me that I will always make a lot noisy. It's, I don't know what to say. I cannot touch their hearts. I feel so, I don't know, I don't have nothing to offer. What can I say for you in your suffering? I feel like I cannot do anything. But God teaches us that even if you don't know, just be in their side. Just a touch can mean a lot for who was suffering. Pray. These are the ways where you can see that Jesus always is and always will be with us. Always and always. The second lesson I saw here, remember, the disciple was, Jesus was prepared. Oh, the disciple will go through in a hard, difficult moment. In moment of Christ, we need to remember that Jesus was and always will be on control. This verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returned to God. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew his origin and his destiny. Jesus did not go to the cross because the crowd. Jesus did not go to the cross because of weakness of Caiaphas. Jesus did not go to the cross because the cowardice of Pilate. He went to the cross according to the eternal plan of God's Father. He was in control of everything. Take a look in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one take it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay down
to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. All things are in Jesus' hands. Many of you know that when I was 25 years old, ready to get married, I discovered that I had cancer. It was 3 months before my wedding. 3 months before. And I was in seminary. It was devastating for me. Imagine 25 years old, discover you had cancer. And in three months before the wedding. So it was very difficult. I didn't have insurance. Any kind of insurance. I didn't have money. And in the seminar in São Paulo, I was working in a small church, and a friend of mine gave my exams for a nurse who worked in São Paulo in a huge hospital, clinical hospital, very technology, very high hospital. And she was not even a believer. But she said, oh, do you know, this guy here is 25 years old, will marry in 3 months, and doesn't have any kind of insurance. Take a look. So the nurse was walking inside the hospital, and she saw a chief of urologist department, the guy, the very top guy there was the chief, and she passed by and said, doctor, take a look, please. And she just explained and gave the exam to him and get on. So I received the call where I was and said, was the secretary, was not him, and say, oh, doctor, I don't remember his name, said, doctor, da 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 da, he said, you have to come to the hospital. Because your name is like you are already there. In São Paulo, it's a huge, huge line. You have to go 5 o'clock in the morning to try find a get a car, the whole thing. So I arrived there. I just went through the hospital. They received me. They put me in a nice room. And Friday, I entered Friday. And I had surgery only Tuesday. Was 4 days in a hospital 5-star hotel. Because I didn't feel anything. Was something inside, but so far didn't feel anything. But was there. And I remember I was one chaplain from Catholic Church came to me, and she was comforting me. She was like 70 years old, 65 years old. And when she started to share to me, I just opened my heart. You know, I believe in Jesus. I'm suffering, but I know where I'm going. If I die here, I go. And she started to cry. And I said, do you like to receive Jesus as your Savior so you can have... She said, yes. So we pray, and she accepted Christ. So it was interesting. But beside that, what I want to say is, when I finished, the doc came to me and said, you know, was cancer, second degree, carcinoma, cells, transitional cells, second degree, but we take everything. I want to say one thing for you. Some things happen during the surgery. He was not a Christian. Any kind of Christian, if you think Brazil, no, he was from a different place, and said, some things happened. The environment of the place was different. The environment. I don't know why. Something. Why I want to say that is, God do not promise you that you not go through crisis in your life. But God is in control. And He will be with you, and He will be provide the means to help you to overcome each crisis. Trust in Him. trust in him. The same Jesus who said that I am authority. I have all authority in heaven and earth. It's the same Jesus today that said, I still have the all authority. In your life, in my life, our lives are in his hands. And we need to trust that when you have come, when Christ has come to us. No matter what's happened to us, we need everything is on Jesus' controls. You think about children. You think about future education. You think about finances. Some for one here maybe about visa. We need to learn, put in front, before the throne of God, our needs, our fears, because he is still on control of everything. The third principle I saw here is that in moments of crisis, we need to remember that Jesus showed that authority and privilege does not imply pride, but humility and service. In moments of crisis, we need to remember that Jesus showed that authority and privilege does not imply pride, but humility and service. Verse 4 and 5. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus knew that he was the King of Kings. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God Most High. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything under his control. Jesus knew that he was sovereign over everything. But he just served his disciples. It was expected that people wash their feet before come to around the table. This was the culture at the time. And so the disciples came from Bethany. And you can imagine when you look for the movie, because the quality was not good here, but at home, the feet of the disciple was really dirt. And supposed to be, they had to clean their feet before. But probably the environment, they don't have servants to do this. Because usually this is work for the servant. I think that Jesus, at the moment, Jesus was waiting that somebody of them took initiative to wash their feet. But nobody did. I have this in mind. Maybe the disciples is still discussing, oh, who do you think will be the greater among us? Remember, they talk about that. They were too proud to wash their feet. I don't know. I feel like Jesus, wait a moment. Just see what's happened. But nobody. They were too proud to do a job of a servant. So when Jesus washed their feet, the feet of his disciples, he was challenged them to follow his example of a servant. We are called to serve each other more than any other time. Is when the crisis appears that we have the opportunity to serve one another. I say again,
the most important time or the most powerful time we have to serve one another, it's when the crisis comes, when the crisis happens. Because in the moment in the crisis, what's happened? Everyone look for themselves. I need fix my problem. But the lesson here is, in the moment of crisis, still look up and serve each other. In our life, in our ministry, our family, we will have a moment of crisis. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew about that. But in moments of Christ, we need to remember that Jesus loved us to the end. He never will forsake us. He is with you right now. You're never alone. In moments of Christ, we need to remember that Jesus was and always will be in control. Nothing happened in your life or in my life that is out of control of Jesus Christ. In moment of Christ, we need to remember that Jesus showed that authority and privilege does not imply pride, but humility and service. Doesn't matter where you are, your position, you as a disciple of Christ, we have to serve one another. In the moment of Christ, it's the most powerful moment we have this opportunity. Let's pray. Praise be your name, Lord, for your example of life. We ask your Holy Spirit to help us open our eyes during these moments of crisis. Trust in you, walking with you, and serving each other. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.